The Lord be with you.
When I was about 7 years old, my hometown high school team went to the state championship in football. This was a big deal. Small town, the town, their hopes were high. We were going to win the state championship. So it seemed like the whole town caravaned to the game. And our hopes were high. But it was a close game all the way. And it came down to the last play. We were down by a couple points, and we had a chance to kick a field goal. And I remember watching. The kick looked good. It was heading for the uprights, but it just missed. And we lost on the last play. There were people crying all around. People were devastated. Their high expectations had not been met. So we went home, disappointed, with our heads held low. You know, I wonder if the disciples felt something similar. Cleopas and the other disciple, we're not sure, it could be his wife, we don't know. They've left Jerusalem, and they're walking to the village of Emmaus. Maybe it's their hometown, we don't know that. But they're not heading to Emmaus with good news. They're not going to Emmaus to tell about a victory in Jerusalem. They're headed to Emmaus disappointed. They've left their hopes behind in Jerusalem, along with the dead body of their teacher, the one they thought was the Messiah, the promised Savior of Israel. These disciples aren't just sad because they've lost someone they loved. They're sad because their expectations were not met. Their high hopes have been dashed. They expected Jesus to be the victorious Messiah. They expected him to set Israel free through political and military power. But instead, this Jesus is nailed to a cross and dies. Jesus didn't meet their expectations. Jesus didn't play the role they expected him to play, and they were disappointed. I think we're like the disciples sometimes, because Jesus doesn't always meet our expectations. He doesn't always play the role we want him to play. When we expect King Jesus to come in power, instead he shows up as the humble servant. When we expect meek and mild Jesus to come with compassion and tenderness, instead he shows up with rebuke and teaching. When we expect Jesus to come as miraculous healer, instead Jesus shows up as the sacrificial lamb. When we expect Jesus to come as generous host at the table, instead Jesus shows up as a strange guest. Jesus doesn't always meet our expectations. We can't pin down Jesus, can we? In his freedom and majesty, in his divinity and his humanity, we can't control Jesus. He overwhelms our expectations. And we can't reduce him to one role or another as much as we would like sometimes. This is true throughout the Gospels. It's true in Luke, and I think it's especially clear in this story on the road to Emmaus. I'd like us to think about the roles Jesus plays in this story, okay? Jesus is the stranger, the visitor, who joins his disciples on the road. Jesus is also the patient listener who hears their story, and he sees their sadness. Jesus is also the prophetic teacher who rebukes them and explains the scriptures. Jesus is also the guest who goes in to stay with his disciples. And then Jesus becomes the host who breaks and gives bread at the table. And finally, Jesus is the risen Lord who disappears from their sight. I mean, tell me this Jesus doesn't surprise you. Tell me this Jesus doesn't completely overwhelm you. Tell me this Jesus doesn't meet your expectations. We can't pin him down, can we? And I think by playing these different roles, Jesus also invites the disciples to play different roles as well. Let's think about the roles the disciples play, okay? The disciples become teachers because Jesus asks them questions. The disciples become listeners because Jesus then teaches them. The disciples become hosts because there's this lonely traveler with them. And the disciples become guests because he gives them bread. And finally, the disciples become witnesses because their eyes are opened and they recognize the risen Jesus. Are you with me? Nod some heads, okay? The roles the disciples play derive from the roles Jesus plays. Jesus' presence with the disciples shapes their actions. These disciples are on a journey with Jesus, and so are we. And Jesus joins us on this journey. And our actions must be shaped by his presence among us. Because this Jesus is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. This Jesus is the true human. This Jesus, his life, is the life God calls us to live. So to be in Christ means that our identity and our actions and the roles we play are shaped by his identity and his actions and the roles he plays. So like those disciples, we live in relation to Jesus. We live into the pattern of his life. What does that mean? It means that we can't just identify with Christ the King. We must also identify with Christ the suffering servant. We can't just identify with Christ the compassionate listener. We must also identify with Christ the powerful and passionate teacher. We can't just identify with Christ the host at the table. We must also identify with Christ the strange guest on the road. Sisters and brothers, which Jesus are we following? What roles do we expect Jesus to play among us? And in turn, what roles do we play as people in Christ? Which Jesus is shaping this community and our life together? Friends, we are called to live into the fullness of Christ's life in us and among us. And that's impossible to do alone. It has to happen in a community, right? Well, Jesus is not here in the body as he was on the road to Emmaus. But Jesus is here. Amen? Jesus is here by the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus is here through word and sacrament. Jesus is here through us, his body, the church. Jesus is here. And like those disciples on a journey, Jesus shows up and walks with us. Jesus journeys with us. He hears us and sees us. He rebukes us and teaches us. He receives from us and also feeds us. He opens our eyes. And Jesus is free to do this in any way he pleases. But Jesus often does this through you and you. Don't hide, and you, even me. Jesus does this through us, in us and among us. So what does this actually look like? I think this looks like us playing whatever role Jesus calls us to play. I think this looks like mutual relationships in the body of Christ, where everyone gives and everyone receives, where everyone learns and everyone teaches, where everyone leads and everyone follows. And for some of us, this means we need to speak up more. But for a lot of us, I'm going to raise my hand, it means listening more. For some of us, this means becoming hosts who invite in guests. But I think for a lot of us, it means becoming guests, especially of those we usually host. I think this looks like teachers becoming students and students becoming teachers. It looks like leadership that's shared and diverse. It looks like crossing boundaries of every kind. It looks like the voiceless finding their voice. It looks like the powerful giving up power. Friends, this looks like love. Amen? This looks like a community of mixed up people, where a theology professor is encouraged in faith through the testimony of a new American. This looks like an artist being reminded of what curiosity looks like from an autistic child. This looks like a widow inviting a single mother and her kids for dinner. It looks like a returning citizen from prison teaching a lawyer about what a just society looks like. Friends, we can't live into the fullness of Christ's life among us without one another. We need one another. Author and poet T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called The Rock, and he talks about the stranger in this poem. I want to read a bit of it in this play. When the stranger says, "What is the meaning of this city? Do you huddle close together because you love each other?" What will you answer? "We all dwell together to take money from each other." Or, "This is a community." Oh, my soul, be prepared for the coming of the stranger. Be prepared for him who knows how to ask questions. There is one who remembers the way to your door. You shall not deny the stranger. Jesus is the stranger on the road to Emmaus. And in Genesis 18, the Lord appears through three strangers. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "I was a stranger, and you invited me in." Has anyone here seen the TV show Undercover Boss? Has anyone seen this or heard of it? You know the idea? If you haven't, I'll try to explain. So it's a reality TV show, and the owner or a high executive in a company will go undercover as an entry-level employee, right? So the other workers don't know this lady or this guy owns the company, right? So I think in this episode, this is the owner or CEO of Waste Management. And for a week, he collects trash, right? And he gets to know the employees. But they think He's just a new hire on the job. And this lasts for a week, and at the end of the week, they get everyone together and reveal, no, this new employee, he's the boss. He owns the company. And everyone's shocked, right? Because everything they've done has now been seen and heard by the owner, by the boss. And the boss will maybe reward those who've done good work, or provide training, or improve working conditions, or maybe fire someone who was not doing their job. I wonder about our undercover boss. How would Jesus find this community if he came among us as a stranger? Friends, we can expect Jesus to show up here, but we can't predict how. Okay? We can't predict how. Jesus may not come in the way we expect. Jesus might not show up through whom we expect. So we have to learn to live as a community where all are welcome, where all are heard, where all give and all receive. What does this look like? Where do we learn this? How do we do that? Christine Pohl writes this: a shared meal is the activity most associated with the reality of the kingdom of God. A shared meal. We gather around many tables, don't we, throughout our week? At home with our family, maybe at a table with friends, maybe neighbors over for dinner, maybe we share a table with a stranger. And we are the church at all of those tables. But we are the church above all here at this table. Around this table, we are the body of Christ. Jesus joined them at the table. Then he took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and he began to give it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Greek word recognize is the same word also for to see, to perceive, or to know deeply. A few weeks ago, I was at a conference at Calvin College. I'm looking at John Whitfleet. It was the Universal Design for Worship Conference, hosted by the Worship Institute. There were a few COSers here, Connie Heisman, Judy Braidaway, and the conference was helping the church think about how do we make worship accessible to all people, to people of different ability levels. And it was a wonderful day, and one of the guests there was Ken Miedema. Does anyone know Ken Miedema? A lot of hands, okay? So if you don't know who Ken Miedema is, he is an incredibly gifted musician. He plays the piano, he sings, he improvises songs at the piano. Just brilliant, okay? Ken also happens to be blind. And Ken led us in a couple songs that day. And one of the songs I want to share with you just a few lines of. Don't worry, I'm not going to try and sing it. I'll just read it. But right before we broke bread together, we had lunch at tables, Ken sang this song, and I'll share a bit of it. And I long to find a place where eyes are open, where all of me is seen, the weaknesses I struggle with, and all the strengths I own, to be in a place where I can know and where I can be known. And hooray for a place where we find the grace to see and to be seen. Friends, around this table, we know Christ, and we are known by Christ. Here we see Christ in others, and they see Christ in us. Around this table, We are all guests, but none of us is an outsider, because Christ became the stranger sent into the world. And this is his table. Around this table, we are all hosts, but none of us is an owner, because Christ is Lord of this feast. And this is his table. Around this table, we are all witnesses, but none of us knows it all, because Christ is the true and the faithful witness. And this is his table. Around this table, we are all listeners, but none of us is voiceless, because Christ is the great high priest who hears every prayer. And this is his table. So friends, come to this table, where we know and we are known, where we see and we are seen. Come to this table of abundant life, because here our eyes are opened. Here we recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Here we recognize Jesus in the face of every person. Come to Christ's table, friends. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.